Hi, welcome to Female Trouble. I'm Quinn Kelly, and this is a podcast spotlighting women in Baltimore. When Kara Ober created Be More Art a decade ago, she was driven by a curiosity about the ways artists build their lives in untraditional ways. Founded by Kara and friends from grad school in 2007, Be More Art is an online publication of art and culture in the Baltimore area, offering reviews, reporting, and resources for artists and the community. In 2015, Kara launched a corresponding biannual print journal that explores Baltimore's cultural landscape thematically. Kara, who is also an artist, writer, and educator, talked about how art, which was always something other people did, became her livelihood. Here's our conversation. Do you remember the first time that you encountered or interacted with a piece of art?
No.
Were you an artistic kid?
I was.
What kinds of things did you like to do or make?
Actually, it's kind of funny. A friend and I used to make illustrated books together. And it's funny to, you know, so many years later to be making these art magazines. But this good friend and I, instead of playing on the playground, our teacher would let us stay inside during recess and be nerds. And I would draw the pictures, we would write the stories together, and we would crack ourselves up. And that's basically how I spent elementary school.
Did you always want to be an artist? Did you know you'd be an artist then?
I didn't. I grew up in a very small suburban town, and there really weren't any artists except for, you know, like the professors at the college where my dad taught. And art was always kind of this thing that other people did, or in the town where I grew up, it just didn't seem like something that could actually ever be a reality. And so I was encouraged to go into education instead.
Where did you grow up?
So I'm from Maryland. I grew up in Westminster.
Okay. Is that Carroll County?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. God's country.
So you thought you would be an educator? You thought you'd be a teacher of some sort?
Yeah. I mean, I majored in art in college. I went to American University in D.C., majored in fine art and photography. But it never occurred to me that you could actually make a career in the arts. I thought I had to do something responsible. So I became certified to teach art K-12 and taught high school for 7 years. And I had really good jobs, taught really fantastic students. And I just always felt like I was living someone else's life.
So when did you kind of like start to see a shift, or when were you able to make the jump from teaching?
So I discovered that MICA had a low residency MFA program in fine arts. And I'd always wanted to go to art school. And so I applied to this program, which was essentially designed for teachers so that you could get your terminal degree in art making. And so over the course of 4 summers, I was, you know, immersed in studio practice. At that point, I was living in Baltimore. I'd rented a studio with some other artists. So I was sort of, you know, making a lot of paintings and showing my work and sort of getting into the art community here. And that program was really sort of what transformed my career. As soon as I finished, I quit my teaching job and I started the Be More Art blog with some other colleagues from graduate school, and I started adjunct teaching at basically every college in the area. So that was sort of when the transition happened. It happened gradually over time, but you know, for me, starting the publication was sort of the key to the research in terms of learning how artists survive, how artists exist, how they pay their bills, how they get their work into the world, and sort of asking all these questions that I had unanswered as a kid, and then having the opportunity to ask these questions to so many artists across the region.
So did you feel like you were earning your own education as an artist, like you yourself, how do I survive, while you are also kind of making a publication?
Absolutely. I mean, and I really never intentionally set out to create a publication. It was sort of, I mean, I'd always like writing. I'm a huge reader. I'm really curious about other people. Sometimes I'm more curious about artists than their work. Sometimes I find the people more interesting and the way that artists kind of take their creative practices and apply it to their lives. And again, this was something that I sort of felt was missing from where I grew up, like a willingness to just, you know, build your life in non-traditional ways, whether it's, you know, non-traditional ways of, you know, bringing in income, creating, you know, security, building communities. And so, yeah, for me, creating this publication, Be More Art, where I could talk to artists, talk to galleries, have a reason to show up and ask nosy questions that I wanted to know the answers to, you know, that I needed to know the answers to so that I could survive. You know, it was just a really sort of the perfect way for me to get the information I needed and then to share it with other people.
Do you feel like you were trying to fill a void with Be More Art? And if so, what was that void?
When I started it, there were a bunch of art blogs that were happening in D.C. I was showing my art a lot in Washington, and people were taking these blogs seriously, and Baltimore didn't really have any at the time. So this was around 2006, 2007, when I started it, just as a very informal community sourced, you know, online publication. And, you know, I didn't really set out to fill a void. I was just really honoring my own curiosity, I think. But then it, you know, as things do, it sort of grew into something else.
What were the early days like? Did you get attention and praise right off the bat, or did you consciously work to, you know, spread the word and build that attention?
Well, I think, you know, for any project, especially in a small town, when you're the new kid, you do get a lot of attention, right? And so, yeah, I think like the first year we started, the city paper gave us a best of and you know, maybe Baltimore Magazine or something like that. There was definitely encouragement in the beginning. And I think, you know, as a new creative endeavor, whatever it is, you sort of start to get used to that attention in the beginning. And then, you know, I think maintaining the attention is really the challenge. But, you know, what's interesting, especially in an online publication, is you can see who's reading. You know, you can see how many people are reading. You can see which article or review people are sharing. So the metrics are there. And I didn't really know about metrics in the beginning, which is probably a good thing. And I'm not really that concerned with them right now. I'm not checking our stats all the time. But, you know, seeing, you know, directly what, you know, what audience engages with and what they want was pretty fascinating for me. And, you know, I think if you work in a publication or work in the arts and you don't care what your audience thinks, you're sort of in trouble. So, you know, just building that relationship with the audience, you know, from the start was something that I had to be really conscious of.
What kind of appetite is there for art in Baltimore?
Do you mean in terms of reading about it or in terms of
reading
events?
About it, engaging with it? I mean, what's your sense of that? And also, has your impression of that changed in the 10 years since you started Be More Art?
So, I mean, Baltimore, I mean, what is the phrase? You can't swing a dead cat without hitting an artist. I mean, Baltimore is a town of artists. It's a very active, community-based place. Artists are everywhere. And, but, you know, there's so many different artist communities, right? There's, you know, place-based, class-based, race-based. So for me, one thing that's always been really important is to try to sort of unite those communities together, you know, so that we're not sort of siloed into our own little area to like build relationships again across those communities, to get people to pay attention to each other, to know each other. And, I mean, the art community, I think, definitely continues to grow. And one thing that I've heard that's really exciting, both in the philanthropic communities and also the educational community, in particular MICA, is that they want to retain talent and keep them here. When I started out at MICA, the common narrative was that if you wanted to be a successful artist, you want to leave Baltimore and move to New York. You know, right away, get out of Baltimore. You're a loser if you stay here. And that was sort of the message. And I think with MICA's new president, Sammy Hoy, he's much more open to like a language of entrepreneurship and self-promotion and sort of building a business as an artist, as opposed to this sort of tired narrative of being discovered by, you know, the blue chip gallery, and then they make your career for you and you just get to make your art and not have to think about anything else. I mean, that's just not really honest, you know, to artists to sort of build up those expectations anyway. You're sort of setting them up for failure. So yeah, I think people are choosing to stay in Baltimore. I think there's a lot more grants and financial opportunities for artists. There's still, it's still a challenge in terms of getting a career going. There's, you know, not a whole lot of art market here. I wish there was more. I think Baltimore artists are absolutely, you know, worth collecting. And there's a number of rising stars here that I think people should buy now while they still can. And, you know, I would like to think that, you know, our online magazine and then now our print magazines are, you know, hopefully a guide for people who want to buy the best artwork that's being made here in Baltimore and to buy it while it's still affordable.
That's interesting that you bring up the kind of siloed art communities, because I think in reading Be More Art, you definitely get the impression that Be More Art tries to be very inclusive and tries to eschew the whole like us versus them thing, or at least that's the impression I get when I read it. And so I'm wondering, you know, how much of that kind of art world insider thing have you come up against just in your general life and career as an artist?
I mean, Baltimore is a weird place. It's not a town of VIPs, right? You can go to New York and or you can go to Miami for Art Basel or whatever, you know, Documenta or Venice, and you can be on that VIP list, and it's fun. I'm not going to say that it's not, but it is a lot of effort. It's a lot of artifice, and I think what I like about Baltimore and the artists here is that if you want to do the work, you can be a part of the community. You will be valued. You can participate. You can, you know, give what you have to give and receive, you know, energy back from the community if you're willing to do the work. So for me, that's really encouraging. And that is something that we consciously want to promote. I mean, this is why we have a calendar on our site that's updated every day. This is why we do a call for entry pages to encourage artists to participate and apply for things. And, you know, why we continue to kind of promote certain events, you know, this idea that, like, let's show up, let's all show up, let's hang out and have a good time. And also the idea that art is really this amazing catalyst for building relationships. So what is the purpose of art? Is it to be a beautiful thing that hangs on your wall or that a museum buys? Or, you know, I've sort of come to the realization that art is really more of a process or more of an excuse for people to get to know each other beyond a surface level.
Going back to when we were kind of talking about the early days of the blog and how, you know, you can get attention off the bat, but that can move on to the next big thing. I mean, how were you able to sustain and build?
I mean, it was, we didn't have any financing. We didn't have any funding for the first 5 or so years. But, you know, for me, doing Be More Art led to other paying gigs. So writing for Art and Art News, or writing for, you know, a number of national magazines. And then I ended up being the art and culture editor at The Urbanite for the last few years that magazine existed in Baltimore. So, you know, I kind of did other things while sort of maintaining Be More Art as a community-based source of information. And I always had, you know, collaborators. I always had contributors. I just couldn't pay them. And, you know, people were writing about art because they wanted to, and they wanted to have a part of, you know, of the conversation. They wanted to be included in that and weigh in with their opinions. And then after The Urbanite closed, I sort of had an insight into like their market and their advertising and how they were able to do that really well. And I thought, okay, I'll do this. I'll just do this myself on a smaller scale. And that was insane. It was completely delusional and insane. But so I spent kind of a year without funding trying to build this publication into the void that The Urbanite had left, because they were a really great source of arts and culture information, also, you know, politics and just local, you know, local criticism, local critique and I worked really hard for a year. I had no money. I was like, okay, I have to stop doing this because I have a child now. And the whole blogging thing is just not paying my bills. And I was really fortunate that a local foundation had been paying attention to what I was doing, and that they offered us operational funding to build Be More Art into something much more professional, much more robust, much more vital to the community. So I was really lucky that the Robert W. Deutsch Foundation sort of invited me to come in and talk to them, and they just said, you know, if you could, what would you build? What would you do? Why would you do it? And to sort of, you know, revision, redesign, and then and build a really great team to work with to do what we do.
Before the funding came along, how did you stay motivated?
I mean, those two things are pretty irrelevant for me. The motivation is always just from my curiosity and my interest in what other people are doing, wanting to ask the questions, wanting to visit the studio, wanting to understand what it is that artists are doing. So for me, those two things were very separate. And in some cases, you know, relationships with contributors sort of ended when I started paying them. It was like certain people showed up and other people sort of, you know, stopped doing what they were doing because it became a different thing. And I mean, I think that's normal. I think everything needs to evolve. And at this point, you know, with the addition of the print magazine, I mean, that's something I never thought I would do. We have our online site, and then we have, you know, a ton of social media that sort of is filling some of the void that, you know, even with the online site, we can't cover everything. We can't get to everything. So, you know, social media, especially Instagram, seems like a really great way right now, at least, to build an archive of the best art that's happening here in Baltimore.
I've read you talk about the importance of building an archive to you, and I was hoping you could kind of expand upon that.
So imagine this really fantastic art exhibition comes to town, and the art is, you know, the art is thought-provoking and well-made, and people go to the show and they talk about it, but nobody takes a picture and nobody writes a review. After the show comes down, it's basically like it never happened. And, you know, when I started doing this, this was something that I guess I got really obsessed with pretty quickly. But, you know, you see something that's great and you want to tell somebody else, oh, I saw this art, I saw this show, you should go see it, it's about this. And people are like, really? I didn't know about this. Where was this? When was this? Oh, I missed it. So the idea that, you know, A, you want to encourage people to show up on their own, but B, that if they can't get there, then at least they get some secondhand information about, you know, why does this even matter? Why is this important? How does this sort of help to build the Baltimore narrative and sort of help to build this, like, collective arts and cultural, you know, whatever this thing is that's building.
Why the print magazine?
I think because I'm crazy. Yeah, again, just from a purely selfish, artist-based desire to make something beautiful. I was told by a number of well-meaning advisors that print was dead, print's very expensive, don't bother with this, this is a dead end, this, you know, you're not taking your publication anywhere good. So I applied for a lot of grants, I applied for funding, and spent about a year like trying to sell this idea to someone to fund the first issue. And when I finally did get the funding, I was like, oh my God, I have no idea how to make a print publication. What am I thinking? But, you know, I found a really fantastic graphic designer. So Tony Venny, who he works at MICA and at the Walters, he had a lot of experience working with printers. So working with him to sort of design something. And then also the idea that, you know, a print journal is completely different than an online magazine. I think people might assume that we just take our online content and put it into print, but we actually don't overlap our content at all. And I feel pretty strongly that your medium and your content needs to match. And so for an online publication, critical reviews, things that are happening right now, encouraging people to show up for things, that's great for an online publication. But for print, we do evergreen. So it's more profiles, Each print magazine is thematically based, so it's sort of a deep dive into Baltimore's art and culture. And for me, the quality of the paper, the quality of the cover, the printing, I mean, it's offset printing. We don't even do digital printing because we're that anal about our images. Just wanting to make this beautiful object and wanting it to exist in the world. And what's been crazy about that is actually as an economic product, after we did our first issue and had proof of concept, the print magazine is paying for itself. So that was an interesting lesson to learn. So I hope that it continues to do so because I love making them.
To what extent do you find your work at Be More Art and your artistic practice informing each other?
It's really difficult to do a lot of different things well. So when I'm really intensely focused on making a magazine, I'm not, you know, my brain is not on making art. And when I'm hanging out with my kid, I'm not really focused on any of those two things. So as much as possible, I'm sort of trying to be in the moment and not someplace else, to just kind of be where I am. But, I mean, I've always been interested in my own fine artwork, in text and image. I use a ton of text, either whether it's in a painting, whether it's in prints. I'm very attracted to a vintage graphic quality in most of my work, and presenting narrative. Although, as an artist, the narratives I present are much more sort of poetic and obscure, and people have to sort of work to figure them out. With print, I sort of feel the opposite, that people should be challenged by the ideas but not by the language. So I want the language to be clear and conversational when I'm doing something journalistic.
What do you find interesting about artists?
I like that artists make their own rules. That's something I've always struggled with. I think that's why I was bad at teaching high school. But just in life in general, I think I'm the kind of person that will take any situation, and if there are rules that seem to be arbitrary, I'm immediately interested in figuring out a better way and offering different solutions. So I guess the word might be innovative rather than just like badass, you know, rule breaker. But that's something that I admire, that for any given problem, you know, there are so many solutions. And I love it when an artist offers me a solution that I've never, ever, you know, considered in my wildest dreams, especially if they can make it work. So that's really, I think, what I like about artists and what I respond to most with their work, if I think it's successful.
It almost seems like artists as problem solvers. Do you think that's fair?
Absolutely. I think artists are fantastic problem solvers. And after looking more closely at, you know, Micah has this newish program called Social Design, and it's for designers, but it's specifically designing in the social space. I mean, like, have you ever had to get a permit in Baltimore City?
Yes.
Oh, God. It is like, you know, a realm of hell that you will never experience anywhere else. Sorry, Baltimore. Love you. Imagine if an artist was put in charge of this process. The room would look different. The space would look different. The process would be different. You know, you look at the products and the things and the objects that we interact with on a daily basis, and there are certain objects that can really inspire, you know, love or inspiration, or at least, you know, have a positive, you know, affect on your mood. You know, good design, good experiences, all of these are art. So, you know, if there's a way to sort of insert more art and more artists in some of these problems that need to be solved, you know, there's the stereotype of the artist as this useless person that's like obsessed with minutiae and irrelevant to culture. And I don't think that's true. I think that's a really, again, a tired cliche. And so, you know, part of what I like to do is sort of inject art into daily life. And, you know, one main purpose of the magazine is to just make the work of artists more visible to people who aren't necessarily invited into that world all the time.
You just started to touch on this, but I wonder, to someone in Baltimore who is not involved in the artist community whatsoever, doesn't think they're interested in art, doesn't go to shows or anything like that, what would you tell them that artists bring to Baltimore?
first of all, if this is you, I don't blame you. Artists can be a little bit prickly. They can be cliquish. It can be intimidating to go to galleries, and you know, artists tend to be a little obsessed with themselves. So I think, you know, it can be a challenge. You know, I come from a family of people who are mostly not that interested in art. When I was teaching high school, I was teaching people who were mostly, you know, not that interested. So figuring out how to make it relevant, how to make it important to someone enough that they would give up their time, you know, is huge, I think. But I do believe that art, you know, good art especially, has the power to make your life, you know, immensely more interesting, immensely more meaningful. And, you know, sometimes what someone needs is just an artist to kind of like walk you through it. Maybe that we just need to have like some sort of artists as, you know, I don't want to say docent, artists as like ambassador or something. You know, I feel like artists could be amazingly important if they acted sort of as ambassadors for all of art and sort of, you know, it's like a cult actually. Right? Like, just, you know, how do cults get people to join them? You know, they just act really nice and friendly and like give them cookies, you know, like maybe that's what we need to do.
What has the transition been like to now, I would imagine, be speaking to an audience that is mostly already interested? I'm guessing, you know, most of the readers of Be More Art probably already interested in art and not trying to, you know, you're probably not trying to convince them of its importance like you might be high school students.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and I do think, you know, there's a difference again with the online site where you have to purposely go there. You have to click on a link. You have to put in the web address to go there to read, you know, and hopefully then that you're reading it and you're sharing it with other people. But in terms of, you know, sort of reaching out to the uninitiated, handing somebody a beautiful magazine is a really great way to do that. So look at these beautiful photos. Look at this interesting work. Hopefully something in each, you know, print issue will sort of draw you in and make you think about, you know, art, especially art being made locally in a different way.
How would you, obviously this is very broad, but on the whole, to someone, you know, who's never been to Baltimore or, again, doesn't know anything about the art scene here, how would you characterize the art scene in Baltimore?
So I think what you're talking about is the B word, is branding. Right?
Oh, I did not have the B word in mind, but I'd be interested to hear you talk about that.
This is something that, you know, all sorts of creative thinkers have been trying to capture and trying to do. But like, what is Baltimore's brand? And, you know, on one hand, like we sort of know what we have here and we value what we have, but we also are in such close proximity with DC and New York that it's hard not to compare. Baltimore is very different than these two other places, but for me, on the whole, I would say that Baltimore is a city full of art and culture that is edgy. It is very intelligent and cutting edge, but then it's also friendly in a way that many cities aren't. And I think sort of this hospitality that people tend to have here in Baltimore sort of throws people off a little bit. I'm not sure why, but, you know, when you go to New York and you go in that New York gallery and you walk in and there's a receptionist sitting at the front, you know, but they don't make eye contact, right? They're like on their computer, like suddenly, you know, typing a novel or something. Like they don't even look up. They don't acknowledge your presence. And immediately you sort of feel that. You know, I think sometimes when you step into museums, there's also this sort of feeling of like judgment or, you know, what are you doing here? Don't step too close to the art. Do you belong here? Don't, you know, don't touch it. Don't do, you know, don't interact. Don't spend too long here. But I do think that, you know, this sense of sort of smart, interesting ideas coupled with this sort of humble and hospitable attitude, you know, makes Baltimore a really great place to be an artist and make art.
Is that what has kept you in Baltimore?
I think so. And also just like the general weirdness. I mean, Austin has, you know, owns that, right? Austin is the weird city. But, you know, Baltimore definitely has its own brand of eccentricity. And I find it charming. I find it constantly entertaining, constantly evolving. I think I just, you know, if I get to a point where I'm not having fun anymore, I'll stop what I'm doing. But at this point, I'm having too good a time to quit.
What has surprised you most since starting Be More Art?
I don't know.
Is there anything that, well, I'm sure there's more than one thing, but what comes to mind as something you didn't know then that you know now?
Oh, well, I mean, definitely a lot about publications and how they work and, you know, how you get them out in the world, how you talk to your audience, how you sort of build trust with audience, I think has been pretty fascinating to observe. But, you know, for me, one huge surprise was just the response to the print. I had been doing online for, you know, almost 10 years when we launched our first print issue. That was November of 2015. And I had never thrown a giant party before. I was just going to, you know, I'd made this thing and, you know, it was, I thought it was awesome, but I didn't know how to release it into the world. I mean, magazines are heavy. I suddenly had like, you know, 50, 40 pound boxes of magazines. And I'm like, oh God, you know, what do I do with these? You know, with online, you can hit print. You know, hit publish, I mean, and it goes out in the world and does its thing. With print, it's completely different. So we decided to have a huge launch party. The first one was at Maryland Art Place. I was shocked that it sold out, and then more and more and more people kept trying to come to this launch party. And it was just like the energy around print was so completely different than online. Like, I don't think I could have expected 300 to 400 people to show up if I wanted to have a party about an online, you know, art magazine. But this print thing just seems like it's really sort of catalyzing energy in a way that I didn't expect. And it's been a really great wave to ride.
What's next for you and for Be More Art?
So we are working on our fifth print issue that's due out this spring. And really, you know, feeling excited about that. So with each issue, we've had a theme. So the first issue was place, the second issue was money, the third was legacy, and this last fourth issue was community. And we, you know, sort of picked these words and these terms that can be picked apart and sort of broadly understood, but also really focus us on different artists each time. So for our fifth magazine, the theme is going to be beauty, which I think is kind of like traditional for a magazine. I mean, think about how many beauty magazines that exist. But I think it gives us an opportunity to sort of, you know, take it apart and redefine it according to Baltimore aesthetics, you know, to look a little bit at Baltimore's fantastic community of jewelry makers, fashion designers, you know, models and photographers, and then also to look at artists who actually actively pursue beauty, you know, in their studio. I feel like beauty kind of goes in and out in terms of popularity, and sometimes artwork that's beautiful is not considered good. It's almost like it can't be trusted or something because it's beautiful. And, you know, I sort of feel like if you're making artwork that's beautiful, it's going to be compelling to a broad range of people, and that's actually really generous, you know, to people, as opposed to like, you know, looking at that 2x4 on the ground with some tape stuck onto it and some rocks or something like that. You know, that's fine if you're, you know, you're making a point, but I don't think that's all that generous to, you know, to it, to the audience to understand what you're doing. So I'm excited to talk to artists about beauty and what that means to them.
Tara, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with Kara Ober. I'm Quinn Kelly, and this is a Baltimore Sun podcast. Female Trouble is available everywhere you listen to podcasts, like SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. We're also at baltimoresun.com/femaletrouble. You can follow along on Twitter at FMLTrouble. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.